teach. Our theme this year for our Bible study that we're going to have this week is entitled All Things New. All Things New. And every day there's going to be a different emphasis of all things that are new. We're going to study about a new message. We're going to study about a new man. We're going to study about a new method. We're going to study about a new covenant. And we're going to study about a new home. When I think of those five things, really they are an overview of the Word of God. I remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 6 and verses 44 and 45 when he said, "And it's written to the prophets, they shall all be called of God. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. No man shall come unto me lest the Father draw him." All come through the Savior. But that Savior is revealed to us in a message. In Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 through 20, you have the Lord as the disciples are gathered around him. He is giving them their marching orders. We call the Great Commission. He challenges them to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And then the Lord ascended into heaven and they watched. And they went out and preached boldly that message, confirming that message with many signs, wonders, and miracles. In Acts chapter 2, you have the time in which on the day of Pentecost, a notable day for Jews, a day of celebration, that people have come from all over the country. They've come from all over the country to come to Jerusalem to pay homage to the Lord and to keep the feast days that they've come to celebrate. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, you have diverse nations that are gathered there. Various people that spoke in different tongues. In Mark chapter 16, it is prophesied by the Lord in Mark chapter 1 as well that the apostles are to stand in Jerusalem until they are endued with power, until they receive the power of God. As the scene opens in Acts chapter 2, there's a rushing mighty wind that comes through the room, and it was as cloven fire, tongues of cloven fire set on the head of the apostles. And everyone began to speak, and when they began to speak, everyone that heard in a different tongue heard and understood in the tongue that was native to them. The only way that could be explained was that these men were drunk. Because after all, these were barbarians. What simply meant they were uneducated men. These were not tongues these men had studied. These were not tongues these men had practiced. They didn't go to Korean school to learn how to speak Korean. These men were speaking because the Holy Spirit had enabled them to do that. And Peter's message is recorded. And he begins with the prophet Joel. And he describes the scene of the destruction of an end of time. And then comes down and says, "All who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That harmonizes with John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. "Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. It is written in the prophets, they shall be called." They're going to be called because there's a message that is preached like Peter stood up and preached. He indicted those people because of the sin they committed and giving their hand to crucifying the Lord. And then he turns to the Psalms and quotes David. And as he quotes David, he said, "David's not with us anymore. David's in his grave. But it was not right that the grave be holding Jesus, that he has arisen and is now at the right hand of God, sitting as both Lord and Christ." That was the message that pierced their hearts. They've been charged with crucifying the Lord. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God, ruling as Lord in Christ. And because of that, they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And the gospel message corresponded with Mark chapter 16, when Peter said that every one of you repent and be baptized, for in order to receive the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is that calling of salvation. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. This promise was a promise that Joel talked about. This was a promise that the prophets had talked about. All this promise that the prophets talked about. Oh, how the prophets longed to understand. Angels were standing on their tiptoes, leaning over the precipice, looking down from the heaven to try to gain an understanding. But now this message has been revealed. And it was a message that from that moment on changed the world. It changed lives. in Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul preaches to these Ephesians whom he addresses as saints in the first chapter, verse 1, he said, but you've not so learned Christ. If you have heard, and seen the many signs that are wonder, you know what, that the truth is in Christ. Therefore, put off the old man and all of his lusts and put on the new man. And what he's saying there, here is this message that you've learned, and that message produced in you a change of heart. That message produced a change of mind, from I will not to I will. I refuse to bow to I will bow. I will honor you. And as a result of that, there was a change of life. No longer are you going to steal. No longer are you going to become angry in an uncontrollable way. No longer are you going to use words that are blasphemous and hurt other people. No longer are you going to have a spirit of ill will, malice, and hatred. Now then you're going to be filled with a spirit of kindness and tenderheartedness, and you're going to have a forgiving spirit just as God in Christ hath forgiven you. No one who's come face to face with this message walks away the same. There may be different responses to it. There may be responses of acceptance. There may be responses of refusal. But everyone is affected, and those who accept it are changed from the inside out and become new men in Christ. Every man in Christ is a new creature, Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. No longer barbarian, no longer circumcised, uncircumcised, but all new in Christ. We like new. A new car. The smell of a new car. A new home. A new baby, a new birth. We love things new. And what he's telling us in this message is, central to it is, you will be born again, born anew. But you're going to be raised from being buried a new man with a new purpose, with new values, with a new worth. In the book of Philippians, Paul will talk about in chapter 1 and verse 27, the impact this message had, that they conduct their lives worthy. The idea of worthy looks at weight and a balance. There's a set of scales. And you have Christ that is on one side, and we're weighed in the scales that you walk, you conduct your life in a worthy manner. What do you mean by that, Paul? Well, in chapter 2, he says that you no longer complain, you no longer criticize. You're no longer negative, Nelly. You no longer have a negative attitude in your life. But now then, you're what? You are lights in a world of darkness. A part of that new man is to be a light shining in this world. We don't have the attitude of the world of criticism, of harshness, of complaining. We have an attitude, Paul will say, of thanksgiving. And we have an attitude that enables us to be at peace with God because we think differently. We think about things that are good. We think about things that are lovely. We think about things that are just. We think about things that are honorable. And as a result of that, we who were not a people at one time are now a people who have now been called forth to show forth the praises of God. We have a new man. That's a byproduct of a new mind that comes from a new message. And that new man has a new set of values. That new man has a new set of behaviors. That new man has a new heart. Isn't it interesting in Ezekiel chapter 18? In Ezekiel chapter 18, after Ezekiel gets done talking about disabusing the proverb, the children's teeth are set on edge because they've eaten sour grapes. And Ezekiel said, no, the reason your teeth are set on edge is because you've been eating sour grapes. It has nothing to do with your father's. And then illustrates a man that is righteous, and he's righteous because of his righteousness. And he illustrates a man that is filled with iniquity, and he's filled with iniquity because he is iniquitous. And then you have another man that is righteous because because of what he does is righteous. And then Ezekiel flips all that around. Here's the righteous man that does iniquity. Here's the man that is filled with iniquity that does righteous. And here's the righteous man that becomes iniquitous. And then here is the pivotal part of what Ezekiel is saying. He said, my appeal to you is this. Turn and repent and get a new spirit and get a new heart. What he's saying is we can be new. We don't have to be old. We can have a new spirit. We can have a new heart. But that new spirit and new heart comes because we have heard and we have learned something. And that hearing and that learning impressed something upon us. And it impressed upon us that there is a change that needs to take place. We can be made new again. That old man is buried. All the old ideas, all the old thinking, all the old values. Now we are new in Christ. But he says in Ephesians chapter 4, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have become a new person, but now you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now you don't ever have to grow old in mind. You can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you don't have to wait until the day of atonement comes. That covenant has been abolished. The first has been done away that the second might come. And in that we have a high priest that does not have to come and first atone for himself and cleanse himself. But a high priest who was without spot and without blemish, who has entered into the Holy of Holies, offering himself as a sacrifice. Yes, there was blood that was required. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And without shedding of blood, there's no covenant. But that new covenant comes because we have a new high priest. And now that new high priest, we can come before him and ask forgiveness of our sins and be renewed every day. We don't have to wait until next year. When they came to that day of atonement, it wasn't to roll the sins forward till the next year. It was to atone for all the sins that had happened this last year. And they began anew. But now then we can come because we have a high priest who entered once and for all. And we can come and we can be made new every day because of what he has sacrificed. And because of the covenant that he has established. The first had to be done away that the second might come. And with that second came a person. And that person brought a message. And the byproduct of that message is there is a new man. And now then it's no longer dependent upon the prophets to teach. Now it's no longer dependent upon the apostles to teach. Paul will say in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, here's what I'm doing, Timothy. I'm sharing this with you. This is Ricky's translation. I'm sharing this with you. So what you can do is you can share it with others. And what they can do is they can take it and they can share it with others. You don't have to wait for the apostles to speak. You don't have to wait for the prophets to speak. Now you can take that message and you can share it. And they can share it. And they can share it. And then what happens is that which began to be spoken in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, has spread to the uttermost parts of the world. Imagine. Life doesn't simply consist in the United States of America, good as she may be. Now, it is in India. Now it's in Ethiopia. Now, it's in China. Now it's in Russia. And now it's changing lives. Jesus came to change our lives. And he came to tell us, this world is not our home. There's a home where there's no death, no dying, and no crying. And there's a home where John will say in that great revelation that God will be with us and we will be with him. And what makes heaven so magnificent is not the figurative description that John gives to us in his revelation. It is because God is there. And God will be with us. Where did it begin? It began with a person who brought a message. And that message penetrated a heart to make a new heart and a new spirit. And produce a new man with a new life and new obligations and new values. It grew out of a new covenant. A blood covenant. A covenant that showed the immeasurable love of God for man that then shows a picture of man that transcends anything on this earth. Jesus arose and we put everything on it. And Paul will say, if he has not risen, then we have all men are most pitiable. Why? Because we've given everything else up. We gave everything up to be his. We have surrendered ourselves as slaves to him. And being slaves to him, yield our bodies as servants of righteousness unto him. Why? Because that's what a new man does when he hears a new message. There's a change that happens. And that new covenant enabled it to take place. And now he takes that message and it so fills his heart. The Spirit so fills his heart with that communication that it is just bursting in him. And he can't help but share it with someone else. That's what the apostles were doing. That's what Acts is about. That's what the first missionary journey is about. That's what the second missionary and the third missionary journey. It's about taking that word and sharing that word. And you see how that spread. And all that was done, confirmed by signs and miracles and wonders. It goes back to what Jesus said to his very apostles before he ascended. And therefore, all things are new. And we can be new. And we can have a mind that never grows old. A new message that produced a new man. That produced a new method of sharing it. That came by a new covenant. And shows us a new home. A new home. And it is written in the prophets. They shall be called of God. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. And no man cometh to the Father except me send him draw him. That truth is in Christ. And that truth is for me and for you today. Here's the message. If you come to me, I'll save you. And you can take that message and you can share it with somebody else. And they can share it with somebody else. And that message will spread. And then they will have a new home to share with us. Here's his invitation. Come unto me while we stand and while we sing.